Can Tyler create excellence on this wave?
Just a little bit of a bobble right there, but and then a sort of an indecision right there. But watch this turn here. Look how high that maneuver is on the face of the wave. Normally you draw all the way back down and then bash it up into the lip. But Tyler Wright, using the top part of the wave there, opens those shoulders, puts that board on the rail, and keeps that turn super tight. Brings it all the way back around just before the white water. Great technique there from Tyler Wright.
Welcome back for Tyler Wright.
And it was fantastic to see Tyler Wright back out there, returning to surfing at the Maui Pro, after a fair while out of the sport. It's been a tough couple of years, and we're delighted to have Tyler join us this morning on SEN Breakfast. Good morning, Tyler. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
How good was it to be back out there and to also place as well as what you did?
Yeah, it was really lovely. It was just lovely to see all the girls and to be back in the water and to be back in the jersey. And I had a really good time.
We spoke about how challenging the last couple of years were for you. Was there ever a point where you wondered whether you could get back to where you are now?
Definitely. There was about almost a year and a half of that. I think it was a long time. It was a long time to be unwell. And I think there was a lot of days where, I wasn't really worried about my surfing career. I was more worried about my life, in the sense of living a normal one again. So happy to be back and living and enjoying a kind of more normal life. And, to be back in a jersey is a really lucky thing, and I feel very grateful for that.
It is great to see you back, and you're in Maui, placed behind Steph Gilmore in the last couple of days. Let's go back in your journey. For those that don't know, you had a mysterious illness that had you pretty much bedridden for 16-odd months. Can you tell us now, looking back on that time, about the challenges and how hard it was and actually what that mystery illness was?
Yeah, look, I got influenza when I was overseas, and a bunch of other viruses along with it, and that kind of knocked out and messed up my entire body. So brain and body function were all pretty terrible after that. And it took me, 16 months to recover. I'm still in the process of that. I feel very much so, but physically I'm fine, but I think mentally it scrambled me. But physically it probably took, close to 16 months to figure out what was going on. And I think, 3 months ago I was still probably in bed. I've had a pretty quick turnaround once I figured it out.
And then back in the water on the weekend, what were the conditions like? And what are your perfect conditions if you could pick a certain wave?
Yeah, look, I think Honolulu Bay is as good as it gets. Maui is the best of the year for the women, purely because it's so perfect. And the direction of the swell was great, particularly for this event, but there was waves and it was surfable and it was consistent. So everyone had kind of equal opportunity and equal shots. And I think that's what really makes it important, so that everyone's catching waves.
Tyler, I'm sure it was great to just be back out there on the water, as you say, but how great was it to be back in amongst the tour? I know it's a pretty tight-knit tour, men and women. Was it nice to just be back around your friends and colleagues again?
Yeah, I think that's one of my favourite bits, actually, of this entire thing. I haven't seen my friends in over a year and a half, and I've seen a couple of them while I was really sick. But to be able to laugh and enjoy and just hang out and go to breakfast and have dinners and just all around, kind of normal social things, felt really good.
Did it give you the appreciation for the sport and everything you've achieved so far, but when you're out of it, to, have a bit of a reset and realise how much you love it?
I think it did. I became a real fan of the sport after, I watched it almost every event while I was out. I became a real fan of it. And I think I have a deep appreciation for the connections that we have on tour, the things that we make. And, I think the winning and losing side of things kind of gets, you can get caught up in it after a while. And I think stepping back as far as I did gave me a big appreciation for everything else that comes along with our sport and all the friends and just the places that we go and the people that we get to meet. And I think, yeah, that's a, I have a deep appreciation and deep respect for the sport and the people that run it, for the people that are supporting it. And yeah.
Tyler, now that you are back in the water, have you set some goals for the future, and in particular next year? Because with the Olympics coming up and surfing being a part of it for the first time in Tokyo, is that something that has drawn your attention or an aspiration for next year?
Not really. You know, I'm kind of one of those big kids that, I don't know, at the moment I don't have too many goals. I think I'm still pretty, you know, still kind of in the process of understanding the extent of what happened. I think, you know, I'm still a little bit too close to it. As for the Olympics, I don't actually get to go, but I get to support my friends that did make the team, which is Steph and Sally. And, you know, I think that will be fantastic. And, yeah, as for next year and beyond, I think overall, as far, like, I went pretty far away from the sport, so coming back, I definitely feel different. And I definitely have a different, probably, perspective on it than I ever have before. So I guess my goals aren't probably as traditional as they once were, as like world titles and, you know, being the best in the world and things like that. They're more around balance, healthy living, wellness, enjoyment, and, you know, really kind of taking care of myself and the recovery process of what I do, and, you know, making sure I account for, you know, certain things take a lot, you know, and you have to account for the cost of, you know, if you're going for a world title and you put everything into it, you know, every year, how much that costs in other areas of your life, and making sure that's all kind of balanced and healthy and not so, you know, weighted in areas that it shouldn't be.
Well, we were really pleased to see that the comeback had started so well, Tyler. And from here on in, hopefully, fingers crossed from a health perspective, and you take that time, as you say, to make sure that you're going okay. And that's the last of anything like that that you have to deal with. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're really appreciative.
Thanks so much for having me.
And a good fist away from the first gamer. Good to see him getting a run. Michael Hartley, 22 years of age. The MCG has changed a bit over time. His first goal in AFL footy. He kicks it long and straight. That'll do. It's worked for 100-plus years.
A very, very good memory for Michael Hartley, no doubt, and he's looking to create more memories. In the off-season, has made the move from Essendon and crosses over to Hawthorn. And for Hawks fans, 2020 memberships are now on sale. And there is a stack of you who are members of that footy club. Go to hawthornfc.com.au. And Michael joins us this morning. Congrats on the move, mate. Good morning.
How are you guys? Yeah, nah, thanks for that. Appreciate it.
How are you settling in?
It's been good. I was training there a couple of weeks before the draft, so I've been there a few weeks now, and the boys are really welcoming, and the club's been awesome so far. It's been great.
You've been very open about the process and having a one-year offer at the Bombers, but deciding to take the two-year offer. Can I ask you just initially why you were so public with that? Because we love it. I think the public love to hear it, but players don't often give us that sort of insight, or at least just own up to it, I guess.
I don't know. I just spoke the truth, mate. Like, it's a lot of it's about family for me. I've got a young daughter. Probably read, and I'm just thinking about her. So thinking about as much security as I can get in the AFL. I love my time at Essendon, but Hawthorn came along with a couple more extra years and a little bit more security. So it was an easy decision in the end.
Two parts that also play when you think of Hawthorn is their ability to make good players really good players and get success. Was that also part of the thought process? As much as you have a young daughter, as you said, an extra year, but also the track record that the Hawks have of getting the best out of their players?
Absolutely. Like, Ricky Henderson, for example, has come in and last year he dominated. So, absolutely. Like, hopefully a good opportunity. And obviously, Clarko's a ripper coach. Learn a lot off him and we'll see what happens after that. But, it's very exciting.
Would we expect to see you in a similar role? And that's the other part that often happens, that players want a different opportunity or a different look at the game, or would we expect to see you in your usual role?
Not sure, Locke. In this year, I was playing a bit of ruck, I was playing a bit of forward, so Could be anything. I'm open up for anything. Could be inside mid sort of type operator.
Call your jets. Slow down a little bit.
We were wondering that.
with my tank, I highly doubt it. But I'm up for anything. Whatever the team needs, I'll be there.
What is your preferred spot? If you actually had to pick, say, a part of the ground, what would it be preferably?
I'm pretty comfortable down back. Yep. I don't mind it there. But as I said, I'm pretty easy to go anyway.
Michael, what are the, I guess when you arrive at Hawthorn, and Dale sort of mentioned about the standards and the way that they go about their business, what have you noticed, what are the early things that have grabbed you about the way that Hawthorn operate as a footy club?
Well, they're very low-key, down-to-earth fellas. We're up for a laugh, up for a bit of banter, but when it sort of comes time to training and meetings and whatnot, that's 100% full on. The boys are locked in and ready to go, so I really love that. And yeah, just a family club, and the standards are really high, so no, I'm happy to be.
How is it last year, or in the last couple of years, you only played back-to-back games twice, and a lot of that had to do with some injury, but also a couple of guys named Hurley and Hooker who go okay for the Bombers. How hard is that when you're on the fringe, you might be going okay in the VFL and you think I'm a chance here, but you just can't quite find your way in for one reason or another?
Yeah, it's pretty hard. They're both obviously all Australian backmen, and pretty hard to kick them out of their spot, but they're both like very good players and they've been around for a long time. So it can be quite frustrating, but at the time I was still having a lot of fun. Like the VFL guys at the Bombers were awesome, and we were winning games and having a good time there. So yeah, it was frustrating, but as I said, I was still having a good time, and I was just trying to work hard and just chip away, and I ended up getting a couple at the end there. But yeah, obviously would have liked more, but that's the way it is, unfortunately.
And Michael, often when you go to a new football club, you feel like you have an understanding or a perception of what players are like, and even how big they are and how strong they are. Has there been there a couple that has already surprised you in your short time that you thought, geez, I didn't realise he was so fast or so big or so skillful?
Oh, obviously Frosty. he's only new as well, but he's very quick. I've watched him. Watched the back of him a fair bit so far. But who else we got? Liam Shirls, tough nut. He's a workhorse, and he's an absolute ripper fella as well. But no, everyone's been up and about, so it's been really good so far.
And your body, how are you tracking, getting ready for another big season? You've been in the system for quite a while, and they often say it takes a lot of pre-seasons to really understand what you need to do to get ready for the start of a new year. How are you tracking?
I'm very good, touch wood. I'm pretty good with injuries. My first 2 years, I had a lot of shoulder recos, a lot of shoulder injuries, but since then I've been pretty good. So yeah, hopefully I can just keep going. Like as you said, been in the system a little bit. I know, I sort of know my body and know what I need to do for pre-season. So I'm going all right at the moment, which is good.
Well, Michael, the Hawks have had a great history in giving players new opportunities, and it's turning into something greater. And here's hoping that career as an inside mid can come off for you in the back end.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate that. Yeah.
I'd like to be there where he lets the midfielders know that he's coming in as well, and just to watch their reaction.
Yeah, he just walks up to Benny McAvoy and says, just down here, Benny.
Tom
yeah.
Mitchell, move aside, please.
Tommy Mitchell, move forward, mate.
Thanks for that's the chat, it. Michael. Good luck.
No worries, lads. Thanks for having me.
Oh, that's hitting on the pad. The umpire says yes. For the second time, John Ward puts up his finger, and Sutherland has to go at OBW to Mitchell Swepson. Swepson bowls, and he's hit on the pad. This one has been given out too. Mitchell Swepson's on fire.
He has been on fire. He's had a very good season so far in the Sheffield Shield. One more round, and then we turn our attention to the Big Bash. But in particular, it's a good time to be a spinner in form in this country, Nick Del Santo. We heard Trevor Holmes, the chairman of selectors, put the spinners on notice.
On notice.
We want more. We want to give someone an opportunity to be there with Nathan Lyon and potentially, depending on what it looks like in Sydney, potentially play with Nathan Lyon. Now, you and I, in our minds, yes, we don't have to go very far.
No, we don't.
We have made our mind up on who that man is, and he joins us right now. His name is Mitch Swepson. 10 wickets in the Shield season so far at 21, including a hat-trick, as you just heard, against Victoria. Mitch, good morning, mate. Thanks for your time.
Morning, fellas. How are we going?
Hey, we're good. Did the ears prick up a little bit if you heard what Trevor Holmes had to say the other day?
Yeah, absolutely. it's obviously good to hear that they're, you know, obviously putting us on notice that, you know, they're looking for someone to, obviously for that Sydney test is probably the main one that they're looking at a second spinner for. So, yeah, obviously you get excited when you hear things like that. But, yeah, obviously that's a while away and there's still some cricket to play. So, don't want to get too ahead of myself.
Mitch, is that the first that you have heard about in regards to this next crop of spinners coming through and, I guess, the need and demand for it? Is that the first time you'd heard that from, I guess, anyone, but also including one of the main selectors?
No, look, I think it's been communicated before that, you know, that they are looking for someone sort of to step up into that role. I guess it's not really... not really that not obvious to the public and to people that, you know, there is a bit of a gap between sort of Nathan Lyon and the rest of the guys coming through that, you know, they're probably a little bit worried about, you know, our spin bowling stocks in the country at the moment. And so, you know, it's not the first time, I think, that they've been wanting someone to step up. Obviously, it's been tough at the moment for the spinners in Sheffield Shield. The conditions don't really suit at all the grounds for the spinners to play. I didn't play the first two games at the Gabba there on some seeming conditions. I know a few states don't play spinners at their home grounds either. So it's been quite tough for spin bowlers in the country at the moment. So look, at the moment I'm sort of just happy that I'm playing, getting a go, and obviously just trying to do well and win games for my state.
But Mitch, it is fair to say, and you do agree, that there is a need for more talent in regards to spinning, that there is a bit of a void after Lyon?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's probably a bit obvious at the moment that, you know, it's what everyone's sort of talking about, saying that, you know, that there is that need for someone to sort of step up. And look, it's, you know, it gives a bit of hope, I guess, to the guys that are sort of playing Shield cricket at the moment for their states, that, you know, if you put a couple of good performances together, that, you know, you never know what might happen because there is that opportunity there. So, yeah, obviously, you know, for me, that's sort of how I see it, as an opportunity and a chance to sort of put my name up there. But at the same time, you know, like I just said to you before, I wasn't playing the first couple of games of the year, so you don't want to look too far ahead. I'm sort of just happy that I'm playing at the moment and doing well.
I read a good article about you about 6 weeks ago, Mitch, on cricket.com.au, where they spoke about, and it was about you last season. You kind of got yourself in a bit of a funk with your action and needed a few things looked at. So you put the call into the great SK Warne and you linked up with him and changed a few things. Just take us through that, and I guess take us through what it's like to have Warney on speed dial for when things aren't going well.
Yeah, it was a bit of a tough time last year. The ball just wasn't coming out very well, but I wasn't really sure why. So I guess I've sort of put it upon myself to go find some answers. And I just knew that he was commentating, obviously, during the Big Bash, and we were playing a game in Adelaide that he was there for. And I sort of just reached out, and he was more than happy to help me out and come have a look at my bowling. And we had sort of a net session there. I went down with Dan Vittori and had a net session with two great spinners of the game. So it was a bit of a pinch-me moment when I was sort of standing at the top of my mark and the two of them are just standing there having a conversation about my bowling. It was definitely a very, like I said, a pinch-me moment. And like I said, in that article, and I'll say it now, he sort of just went through a few things that were just great and what I needed to hear at that time. You know, that sort of helped me get out of that sort of funk. And sometimes I guess you just need a fresh pair of eyes to sort of notice a few things that other people aren't sort of noticing. So it was great to get that from him.
Was there something that Warney or Dan said to you specifically that you'd never heard before? Oh, I'm fascinated, and clearly Warney's the greatest spinner of all time. What did they see or say to you that you thought, geez, I've been playing cricket all my life, I've never heard anyone say or see what they did?
Yeah, I probably mentioned it again in that article that no one had sort of told me how much I was rushing through my action. So From a technical point of view, for him to pick that up was sort of something that I wasn't getting from anyone else, that I was sort of rushing through my delivery stride and also in my run-up and things like that. But I guess there was a couple of sort of probably more mental things that he said. One that really stuck with me was that he told me that when he bowled, he reckons about 20% of the time he actually sort of, you know, he had the stuff, he had his stuff together. He thought that that was 20% of the time he knew that he was on.
Yeah.
And I sort of thought, hang on a second, 20% of the time you thought that, you know, you were on and you were bowling well. And he said, yeah, the other 80% of the time he sort of just found a way to stay in the game and to almost bluff his way through, whether it was the ball not coming out right or didn't feel like he was going to take a wicket. And I just thought, you're kidding me, the greatest leg spinner of all time. 80% of the time didn't think he was going to take a wicket. So that sort of, to me, just made me think things aren't that bad. Things aren't going that bad if you know, he can go through that sort of stuff as well and still find a way to get through the other side. So that was sort of a great point for me to sort of always make sure I'm keeping my head up, even though things aren't going great, just find a way to stay in the game.
Well, Mitch, good luck. You've got the Big Bash period coming up, as you say, after one more round of Shield cricket. And hopefully, if things keep going the way they're going, you're in this Aussie squad for the back half of the Australian summer as well. Thanks for chatting to us today.
No worries, fellas.